Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's now been 7.5 months that I've been living in Nicaragua, working alongside the staff and volunteers of Amos Health and Hope, learning from the community health workers and mission team members, and somehow coexisting with the 97-degree heat and the cockroaches in my apartment. A pastor gave me one word of advice for this sermon, and that was open with a joke. In April, the full Amos staff had the week off of work during Semana Santa, Holy Week, which I learned is a custom for many Nicaraguan organizations and businesses. Though I was later informed that, though some families do participate in Holy Week celebrations each night, for others, it's just kind of a spring break. But I wasn't complaining. My fellow Amos long-term volunteers, Anna and Melissa, and I took the bus down to Costa Rica for the week to adventure in the cloud forest and relax at the beach, and because we had to cross the border to renew our 3-month tourist visas. On our first day in the Costa Rican cloud forest, our Airbnb host and effervescent unofficial tour guide, Miguel, took us on a spontaneous hike, winding behind a school and up through a forest so we could climb to the very top of a mountain for a view of the town and the sunset. As our group of four started hiking, we approached each new tree, each new sign of life, and we paused, we listened, and we tried to understand Miguel's explanations in Spanish. One of the first things we came upon were a pathway of ants. If we were walking quickly, we would have missed them altogether. Miguel told us that these were leafcutter ants. They make this pathway as they cut and collect forest leaves. Then they break down the leaves to feed their food source, fungus in their nest. Each ant fulfilled its own individual purpose. Their size determines the work that they do for their common cause of cultivation. Some ants are explorers. They find the most fruitful leaves. Some ants cut and bite the leaves into small, easy-to-carry pieces. Some ants are the heavy lifters and carry the leaves to the nest. Some ants are the gardeners. They chew the fragments and tend the leaves. Some even ride on the leaves to ensure that flies don't attack the leaves, which would harm the colony. And Miguel told us that the biggest ants, the soldiers, walk alongside the other ants to make sure that they don't get hurt and don't stray from the path. In the case that an ant does get hurt and is not able to lift a leaf, the other ants help the ant lift it. If they're having a hard time doing a task, the big ant doesn't just take it over, it helps it. If an ant gets stuck somewhere, they call for help, and the other ants rush in and start digging until they reach their friend. We were fascinated by these ants. This is empowerment. This is community. And if we were walking in the forest and not paying attention, we wouldn't even notice this microcosm taking place. And Miguel said to us, "We have ears, we have eyes, we are powerful. We can see and we can hear and appreciate and recognize what surrounds us." Before Jesus appeared to them, when the disciples first went out fishing, they got into the boat, just as they used to do, just as they always had, but they caught nothing. How often do we feel unsure of where we are? Like we are alone or not doing enough? Like what we do cannot possibly be making an impact? But Jesus met the disciples where they were, and they did not even know it was him. He stood on the beach and said, "Children, you have no fish, have you? Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. We have faith that there is abundance waiting for us and for others. We may not be able to notice it or recognize it at first, but how is that abundance created? Jesus was there, the Son of God, amidst disciples filled with doubt and despair. He could have taken the net from them, but instead he instructed them, This was an act of teaching, of empowerment, of showing how faith can lead us to the world that could be. Have you ever heard of a lollipop moment? In his TED Talk, leadership speaker Drew Dudley describes lollipop moments as moments in which someone has come up to you unexpectedly and made you feel like you have mattered, you do matter, or you will matter in this world. Have you ever experienced a lollipop moment? A moment where someone said something or did something that absolutely changed a decision you made, that changed the course of your life? Or maybe you can pinpoint specific people whose actions or example have changed the course of your life. Drew Dudley goes on to ask, have you ever told the person who created it that they created that for you? Maybe not. Maybe because we think they won't care. Maybe because we fear affirmation and evade acknowledgement. But why are we afraid to acknowledge the power that we possess, a power that can change the world? Drew Dudley says empowerment can be about lollipop moments, how many you create, how many you pay forward, how many you say thank you for, and how many you empower other people to create for themselves. You never know how what you say or what you do can change a person's life. For many years, Amos Health and Hope has trained community health workers, local people from rural villages in Nicaragua, to provide basic health care, conduct home visits to the most vulnerable people, prevent illnesses, and treat diseases right in their own villages. And now, many Amos programs are taking this a step further, using a care group model, an evidence-based intervention that empowers local people to improve health and change lives. Staff at Amos lead lessons for community health volunteers, and these volunteers go out into the world and teach their neighbors about healthy pregnancies or caring for newborns or clean water and sanitation practices or eliminating mosquito breeding sites to prevent the spread of Zika. My work with Amos in Nicaragua is in fundraising and communications, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret about fundraising. If you look at the data, at the research that's been conducted, you'll see that we fundraisers get a much better return, greater quantities of donations, higher donation amounts, if we say thank you a lot. If we applaud and recognize the donor in every single communication or fundraising mailing, you are changing lives. Because of you, our program was successful. Thank you for the hope you give. Because we all want to feel like we have a purpose, we are needed, we are important. We all like to feel good about the choices we are making. And the research shows that affirmation makes us more likely to make those choices again in the future. In the last newsletter I helped write, the word you or your was said 53 times. Jesus set the table. Come and have breakfast. And they ate together a feast out of love. So when Jesus and the disciples had finished eating, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? He's got this. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Easy. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And asked him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He's getting a little nervous here. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, okay, tend my sheep. And Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt and probably pretty guilty because this was the third time he asked the same question. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times. And Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Well, that escalated quickly. But what if Jesus is saying, look, if you love me, if you have faith in me, if you have faith in each other, if you have faith in a better world, then I forgive you, and really, it's not about you. Feed my lambs. This is about other people and the promise of a better world. Tend my sheep. It's about equity and justice and how you build God's kingdom. Feed my sheep. And let me just emphasize a third time, it's actually not about you. When you grow old, you will not be in control anymore. But this is how you follow me. This is the way toward a life of abundance for all people. This probably wouldn't make for the most successful fundraising appeal. A year ago, I spoke to you all saying we must invest our gifts to help people, to elevate our purpose, saying that's what I aim to do in Nicaragua. The needs are great. People do not have food, they do not have health care, clean water, mental health care, education, safe schools, a safe existence, basic human rights, opportunity, dignity. But we have privilege and we have faith. We believe in the promise of a world of abundance, but we must work to build it. So maybe you recognize your purpose, your pursuits, your passions. You know what role you play in the leafcutter ant colony. You have your priorities and you know what aligns with them. Maybe you have all the money and all the college degrees and you're the most successful person in the world. But I'm here to tell you that, hey, it's not about you. It's not about me either. It's about the why, the reason we do what we do. And it's about the how, the ways we embody our values, recognize the strengths in each other, build up new leaders, and amplify voices of people who have been silenced for too long. So today, I'm going to thank you for what you're doing on your own. As a fundraiser, I know that your donations do help essential programs exist and sustain. But I'm also going to tell you that we, as a community, can do more together. We pat ourselves on the back for making a donation. We feel good about the work that we're doing. But the second part of our communal purpose is not to bask in the validation we so often crave, but to recognize that we alone are limited. We alone are not going to solve all the problems in the world. We can't. So the second part of fundraising mailings usually says something like, we need your help, because without it, all of these good things that we just told you about, they won't happen. So how do you leave a legacy? When you die, what will you leave behind? Gustavo Parajon, who left behind the legacy of Amos and its model, said, a doctor can do hundreds of good works, but if she doesn't teach anyone else, what good is that? If we don't empower others, what will our world become? How can we pass on what we know and do to other people, to our children and grandchildren, to young people in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, in this church? As full partners in the work of creating sustainable change for God's kingdom, we must build each other up, identify each other's strengths, share in each other's past, pain, promise, and purpose. Use our collective experiences to create change and figure out tangible ways to solve problems. This does not mean domination or imposition. This does not mean thinking that we know better than. When we show radical love and give each other grace, we overcome fear. When every neighbor is fed with food and health care, but also fed with knowledge, fed with the confidence that they have the power to create change, that is where we see the kingdom of God. If justice is building the kingdom of God, maybe then graceful justice is recognizing that justice starts with people acknowledging people, recognizing the roles of those who surround us. Think about those lollipop moments that have changed the course of your life. Isn't it amazing that in times of darkness, uncertainty, brokenness, fear, people recognize strength and ability in us that we can't even recognize within ourselves? Sometimes we feel like we have no control. We feel like we are doing all we can do. We are limited. But when we see how our role fits into a larger goal, a goal filled with abundance, we know we've chosen the right path. And we are made better by the right people who build us up too. When we are all tended to, when we are all fed, we are agents of change. You and I, our church, our mission teams, the Amos staff who are working alongside vulnerable people, the community health workers and volunteers, the community members of rural villages who can feel the hope in action. When we are all fed, we can see behavioral change in our communities. We can create positive change for the lives of future generations. We can bring about graceful justice. It's hard. Community-based work is hard. Involving others in what you're doing versus just doing it yourself. We have to give up some things that society tells us we should value. We have to abandon our fear, leverage our faith, and live out our hope. But we need you. Our world needs you. You, our grandparents, parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, teachers, leaders, or future grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, siblings, teachers, and leaders. It's not about you anymore. It's about us together. It's about them. And when we grant each other grace, when we fight for justice, when we empower others to be a part of it too, we can coexist beyond how we ever thought possible. We look back at what could have been. We look forward at what could be. We focus on what we can control. But what can we control if we can't control what was and what will be? We can control how we build the table now. We can control how we show radical love, how we show vulnerability. We can control why we believe what we believe, and we can control how we build up and teach and lead. Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you have faith in me and in other people? Do you believe in the hope of a world with abundant life for the kingdom of God, where everyone has a place at the table?" We can feed our own sheep, the people at our own table. We can build bigger tables so more people have the opportunity to sit at one. We can build more tables so that everyone can reach one. But what if we teach those who eat how to build more tables? What if we humble ourselves, step back, identify strengths in other people, educate, and help create the abundance we seek? What if the how is just as important as the why? If we recognize how powerful an agent of change one person can be, if we change what one person believes they are capable of doing in their community and in our world, if we instill hope, if we cultivate passion, if we give grace and empower for justice, we've changed our world for the better. We are like the leaf cutter ants. We may be small, but we all have a role in this. We are not alone. We are all part of the body of Christ. We use what we have in togetherness. We lead with lollipops. The need is great, and we need each other. The feast has room for everyone, and everyone deserves to have a seat at the table. All are invited, all are welcome, and there is a role for everyone in making sure all are fed. Do you love me? The world is waiting.